Extra Points is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. You have great odds and markets for Major League Baseball, NFL, PGA Tour, and so much more. Awesome new and existing user promotions. It's America's number one sportsbook because it's easy to use, because it's safe and secure, and because you get your winnings fast. Now, winnings are delivered in as quickly as 2 hours, and it's fun to combine multiple bets from the same game into a same game parlay. Discover the most popular same game parlays each day right when you log in. And if you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started. Now, sign up with promo code Extra Points so they know we sent you. Take it away.
Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his good pals, Dave Damashek and Martin Weiss.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points Podcast, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal, come to you on a Monday morning. Spaghetti and meatballs, fiddling with the knobs, baby face, Joel Solomon producing this mess, and joining me as always, my dear, dear pals, Dave Damashek, Martin Weiss. We're coming off a week-long break. We fooled you. We had all pre-recorded shows last week. We gave our summer thoughts and preferences and dislikes, and one of them should have been don't go to Vegas. That should have been one mandate because Martin Weiss is stuck there. Is that where you are, Martin? You're in Vegas?
I am in Vegas. I'm on the 7th floor of the MGM Hotel, and I am miserable.
All right. Martin looks like shit. He sounds like shit, too.
Take that, airlines. Two can play at that game. Marty's just going to miss your flight. You don't even have to cancel it. You can't fire him. He quits.
How did you miss your flight, Martin? I love to hear. This was a night flight last night?
Yeah, it was about 7:30 last night, and I looked up. I was at Thomas and Mack, and it was a cool 6:30 p.m. I said, you know what, Sal? I don't think I'm going to be able to get back to the hotel.
You said that to me? I don't remember you saying that. Oh, okay.
Well, you're right. You're right. I didn't say it to you, but I did text you later on that night.
Said it to James Wiseman.
I was watching James Wiseman and Jonathan Kuminga, who were the only professional basketball players that felt like within a mile radius of where I was at, although I was watching people play basketball. Wow. Yeah, I had to leave after there were literally 17 missed three-pointers in a row. I had to go.
It was a continuation of the NBA Finals, I guess, right? Well,
time. Right, yeah. Exactly.
Unbelievable.
Us and all the media people there just watching people suck.
Oh, geez. I want to get into the summer league and all that stuff. But let's talk football first because there's big quarterback news. And that news is that Zach Wilson is or was banging his mother's friend. And Sheck, you pointed out, we don't know what to do with this because we kind of have to see her, right? Is she an old lady?
I know.
Is she 77 years old? Yeah.
We've reached a weird station in society where it's taboo to weigh in on something like this. But of course, yes. The devil's in the details. On. We've seen pictures of Zach Wilson's ex-girlfriend, mm-hmm. who is lovely to look upon. Now we have to see need to see his mom's best friend before we can evaluate whether or not he's a hero.
Well, this was a move. I think if I'm getting this right, his ex-girlfriend came out and said, oh, yeah, and one other thing. Zach Wilson used to have sex with his mother's friend. So it seems like it's something he wouldn't want out there, regardless of what she looks like and everything else. I guess it's a betrayal of your mother right there. I'm not sure. Would you be proud of this? In what instance is he secretly proud of this, Martin, without having seen this woman?
I'm going to go with, I feel like Zach Wilson's mom, from draft night at least, was kind of a smoke show. No? Uh-huh. Like, I feel like she was on the younger side of the draft day moms. So I don't know. Right. Maybe her friend might be somebody that you might want to pal around with every so often. I could see it happening.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to think what best case scenario, Shaq.
Well, range, friend, okay. Consider the range.
Yeah, but everything considered, because your mother's cool with it, right? Because you don't want to cause trouble with, mom's mad at me, I'm banging her best friend. So your mother's cool with it, she's hot, and all of society actually thinks of you as a hero for this,
I
right?
I feel like that's the part scenario. That I don't get, yeah. though. Is mom really cool with this? Like, could you, like...
I don't know.
Like, that's the part that I really have the question about, is like, does mom just think her friend is a thought? You know what I'm saying?
We
got
to have
like,
the mom on the podcast, right? We have to interview her about
I think
this.
That's the person we really need to ask. Because of all the people who would be upset here, ex-girlfriend, I get her bad. You know, I get her anger. But mom, She's probably friends with Renee for like 20 years before this happened.
Right, right.
Wasn't she being mean enough? Isn't the ex-girlfriend? So Zach dumped her.
Right.
And to get vengeance, I guess, on some level, she now is bedding down with Zach's BYU former roommate, who's now on the commies.
Right.
So, okay. All right. Listen, message delivered. I got what you're saying, lady. Mm-hmm. Now you're also going to throw this out. Now I owe you one. Now Zach's got to spill some dirt on her. But like I say, the range is everything in how we as a society mm-hmm. are going to respond to this. The high end is probably, in spite of all the trouble it caused, Mrs. Robinson. Benjamin Braddock's experience was, mm-hmm. generally speaking, a positive one. On the other side of things, having just completed Ozark, we can see the pitfalls that Wyatt went through with his elder lady.
With Darlene. You know? Darlene.
Darlene. Yeah. Right, yeah. So yes. You don't want Darlene. I guess you do want Mrs. Robinson, but even that comes with a bit of a headache.
Well, so let's figure this out. Like, probably no one's going to see this woman, right? I'd be surprised if we ever saw what this woman looked like. So Zach Wilson.
We will.
Oh, you think
we?
Oh, think you think we're going to see it? You think this week we see it? Really?
Nobody's going to dig that up?
I don't know. I'm not sure. But regardless, I think he has to embrace it, and he has to do the Joe Namath, and he has to show up to press conferences wearing like a fur coat and be like, you know what? I'm hitting everything I can get. I don't care. That's it. I'm Mr. New York. And I'm going to get us a bunch of wins. This has not affected the Jets' win total, sadly. Right, babyface Joel Solomon? We were looking at this. It didn't look like it moved at all. Yeah, I don't know.
I'll just say this, though, Sal. This is why you should go to a real college, like a real state school, like BYU. Like all that repressive, like dorm rules and stuff like that. That's how you end up being 24 or 25 years old fucking with somebody who's like 50 years old because it's your mom's friend. Because you didn't actually get so your wild oats in undergrad.
I guess that's it. Yeah. Jets over under is 5.5 still. Over is -160.
Oh, I'm going way over. I liked that one before. I now love that one. I really do. I think what you want, I know that, listen, politically incorrect or not, move over Broadway Joe. Hello, old broad Zach. I think this is a great move. You want a coxman in that position. Now, listen.
Okay.
I know some people will frown on remarks like these, but this is what you want. You want a killer at the position. You want Han Solo. You don't want Luke Skywalker in this job. You know what I'm saying? You want someone who's going out there, who's living life on the edge. The anti-hero. That's what I want in my quarterback. Congratulations,
you
Jets. I think you got one.
You want Martin Weiss in Vegas. You want Martin Weiss. Like, I think I have a flight in an hour that I'm not going to make, and I'm not done doing my damage here in Vegas, right? I got Dre's after-hour party.
Hey, Martin. He's got other people's girlfriends to chase, right?
We were at XS last night. XS.
Oh, is that what it was?
But you're on the right track. I was at Dre's on Saturday.
Okay, there you go. I'm trying to follow everything on.
How about this? I was at Dre's on Saturday, and how about I've seen Jason Tatum 5 times since Friday.
Really?
That guy is out and having a good time. Just know that.
He's practicing.
Don't leave it at that. Don't leave it at that. Tell us more.
No, I mean, he's not doing anything out of the ordinary. I mean, we're all in Vegas, so he's like, you know, drinking, having a good time. But, I mean, it's hard to miss this 6'9 guy walking in the room, and he's like, wow, oh shit, that's Jason Tatum. And then today's Monday, so 2 days ago, I was at XS for a bachelor party. Not XS, Dre's for a bachelor party. And Jaylen Brown actually got the table next to us. So it was kind of crazy to see how, like, we had a table and we had some bottles and we had some girls. And then all of a sudden, Jaylen Brown got the table next to us and all the girls left. It was a wild migration to watch happen.
Wow.
But, it's just a reminder. It's just like, you know what I'm saying? The guys I'm hanging out with, lawyers or doctors and, you know, medicine people. And these guys are pros.
Medicine people. I wonder, like, the NBA player, I don't want to say it's tough, but that migration you talked about, as soon as they saw someone was like 6'9 or 6'10, right? They're like, oh, I'm going to go over to this table because that means they have money as far as this weekend goes, right? Summer League goes. There's no anonymity. Like Manny Pacquiao could double as a busboy and, you know, you could probably fool most of the people, but not this weekend, not NBA Summer League.
No, not one bit. If you are 6'4 or up right now, you're winning. 6'4". Like me. Okay. Yeah, but 6'4 is just enough. It's just enough. And if you like do push-ups in the morning, you can kind of look like you have a little bit of muscle definition. But like a guy like me, like nah, I look like a media member. And something like this.
Now, what about Mark Gunnels, your lemon pepper parlay, your NBA lemon pepper parlay partner? He's not nearly even as tall as you.
Nah, but he actually had a – see, I had to bum it. I had to bum it out here this time. I didn't have a real credential and all this stuff. Like, I had to, like, really just kind of fake it till I made it. But the thing about Summer League is, like, I walked in the gym and just went down to the first row and I was, like, heading out of the security, and people were like, oh, okay, cool. And if I'm like sitting there talking to people who like also should be there, I was like, if I go down straight to the first row and talk to Chris Haynes for 5 minutes, then nobody's going to stop me. But if I just go down there and have nowhere to go and nowhere to be,
right,
you know, then yeah, that's kind of how I'm going to go.
Gotcha.
But it does suck though. It felt like being outside the club the whole time, you know?
I'm sorry. We'll get your credential. Joel's supposed to get your credential. I don't know what the hell happened there. Joel does have a question, over-under question for you. Go ahead, and then we'll move on because there's other football news. Go ahead, Joel. What is this?
Well, I feel like now we have to know. Oldest woman that Martin has ever been with, over under 35 years old.
Over.
I was going to guess.
I'm sorry.
Shaq, you would have guessed over, Shaq.
Let's continue the game then. Over 40?
Right in there.
I think question is age difference. You know,
how old is Jaylen Brown's mom? How old is Jaylen Brown's mom?
He wasn't with Jaylen Brown's mom. Come on. All right, listen, more quarterback news. Baker, we missed the story last week. We were away. Baker Mayfield goes to Carolina. What was it, Chuck? A fifth round pick, and Cleveland pays $10.5 million?
Most of it. Yeah. Pays a ton of it. As we predicted. By the way, first of all, I just very quickly have to pat myself on the back. I told you repeatedly where he was going. As soon as they signed Watson, I said he goes to Carolina. And so it is. Why? Because Matt Rhule cannot afford. I said this at the time. I'll say it again now. Matt Rhule could not say, we're a promising group. Yeah, you won 5 games again, Matt Rhule. We'll let the next head coach deal with the talent that you and the regime have accrued here. They have to win now. I think they are going to win now to some degree, at least. I like them. Total is 6.5. I like them over that in season wins. Keep in mind, I know we're still getting used to it. 17 games. They have to go 7-10. I think they will do that. But the bigger issue is here. Let's not get lost in the weeds as quickly. This happens perennially. You know what the big news is here? It's football season, everybody. The drafts are out of the way. Now we just have to suffer through a couple weeks of baseball, and then football's here. We did it, everybody. We're back.
I'm going to plug this in. How many days until football? I think there's a site now that just exists only to tell us. Okay, 59 days. All right, that's good. We're at 100. It seemed like a couple weeks ago.
I was about to say.
It's 59. We're good.
It's less than I expected. 59 days. 59 days.
2 months.
Does anybody?
Mark, you don't have to come. You don't have to leave Vegas for another 59 days. You're good.
Will Baker Mayfield make a Pro Bowl going forward in his career?
Oh, well, slow down. First of all, is he going to start for this team? Because I do think,
and I don't know.
We all agree he got the rawest of raw deals last year. Sheck, you've laid it out nicely. He probably shouldn't have been playing, but if he doesn't play, what's his value for the following year? And then so he played injured and he kind of sucked, right? I think that's our collective take on that. Right.
That's my take on it, at least.
Right. But now I think he's going to the best situation he could. As far, he's not going to play. He's not going to start for the Bills, right? So in terms of teams that need quarterbacks or iffy on quarterbacks, I think this is the best situation because he's in the NFC South. The NFC wild card team doesn't have to be great to begin with, and it might as well put him in the South. But check, he still has to get by Sam Darnold, P.J. Walker, Matt Corral. Is he the starter week one?
The only guy I see getting in his way is Matt Corral, and it's likely that given Matt Corral's trajectory, that it's going to take him a little while at least. If Bake falters early or midway through the season, maybe they'll turn to the Rook. But I think that this indicates that they made a mistake with Sam Darnold last year. They're not going to say that directly at this point. But no, yeah, I think Bake definitely is. Unless Matt Corral is so spectacular, such a revelation, and that's a possibility. We've seen that happen in a couple of spots around pro football over the years through training camp. But yeah, I think Bake gets the start, and I think he's good. You know, the factor, the number one factor for success for a quarterback in the NFL. These guys, as we talk about, full QB saturation. There are very few, if any, abject bums who are going to be starting games in week one of the NFL season. The greatest determination for the greatest factor for determining their success is the quality of the offensive line. It's a little dicey from what I gather, talking to experts about the quality of what's in front of him, but the skill positions are nice. The defense is good. If you get a, healthy year, which is a big if out of CMC, yeah, I think he can really stick it to the Browns. I think that's what most objective football fans are now rooting to see happen. They want to see the obnoxious Bake do well and stick it to these Brownies.
I'm looking
the
at
the Panthers are going to win no more than six games next year.
No more than six.
I'm not a believer in that. No more than right. I take the under at 7-10.
Christian McCaffrey that obviously team's going needs to stink. Stay healthy. Chuba Hubbard's backup. DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, Tommy Tremble's their tight end. It's okay, but it is the best situation he could jump into, I think. What else was there? Seattle? So they could get a wild card. Let me ask you this, Martin. You're on your way to the airport, right? Finally, you get your shit together, and someone hands you, they have on their left hand, they have Steelers to make the playoffs, and their right hand, they have a ticket that has the Panthers to make the playoffs. Which one you grabbing?
I take them both and try to donate them to see if I can at least get some tax refundable.
Wow, so neither is happening.
But the Steelers is
plus 280 to make it, and the Panthers, I had this a minute ago, and it wasn't that much different. Panthers was plus 410 to make the playoffs. If you come up to my room,
Jaylen Brown's mom, you can have these tickets.
I would think Steelers have a better shot at being an AFC wild card than the Panthers have at being an NFC wild card. So that's where I would go. I don't.
Well, that's what the odds would indicate. But I thought it should be closer than 410 and 280.
You have one of the best teams in the NFC. Well, yeah, you have one of the best teams in the division, right? You have Tampa, right, who has been since Brady has gotten there, had big postseason success, and then the Saints. I mean, they don't like the Saints. You know, they'll compete for a wild card in general as long as as Chuck said, quarterback saturation, which I believe is the biggest bullshit of all time, because I watched a tight end play quarterback for the Saints for 10 games last year. But they still won 9 of them.
That was a choice. That was their choice to do that. They thought that would work. It's not crazy. You see all Lamar Jackson do it. It's not an insane thought.
Well, I don't know. I think, you know, like a team like the Vikings or even odds to make the playoffs, like the Panthers could be as good as them. Why not? Why, in the NFC, anything could happen. I don't know. I just thought that was a big disparity. By the way, I ran into Rachel Bonetta. Oh, my God. When I say lifelong Browns fan, since she moved out here, she became a Browns fan, really followed Baker Mayfield. She's now rooting for the Panthers. A few people are making that conversion check. They're like, screw these Browns. I hate this. I hate what they did with Deshaun Watson, no matter how it turns out. And now they're looking for new teams, so you go right to the Panthers. Do you recommend that?
I think it's okay, yes. Generally speaking, I would say enjoy your move up to Mount Pius, but I think it's justified here. I do like the move. I personally wouldn't be able to do something so drastic as that. I'm trying to even think of the scenario that would make me flip like that. I guess if the Pittsburgh Penguins traded prime Mario Lemieux in like 1989, I would have flipped and gone to that team, but... short of that, I can't imagine what would push me.
Well, I think like you're the owner. What if the guy who runs the Live Tour buys the Steelers? Like look like that. Things like that probably wouldn't happen.
Okay,
probably.
Okay, happen. Yeah.
There are changes though in Pittsburgh, and with your Steelers,
the MBS Steelers. Yeah, that could be.
Hey, Heinz Field is being renamed. You never thought that would happen before this weekend. Acrisure Stadium? What the hell is that? So some kind of loan out place? Acrisure Stadium from Heinz Field? My son is very upset. He only started rooting for the Steelers. Talk about lunatic fans. Only started rooting for the Steelers because of his infatuation with Heinz. But you're not happy about this, are you?
How could anybody be happy about this if you hail from the banks of the Three Rivers? It was a marriage between one of the great brands in American sports, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and a provincial brand that has spread the world over literally and figuratively, Heinz Ketchup. And, you know, I mean, the Heinz factory, for those who have never been there, is pretty close. I mean, you know, it's a very quick walk, a few punts from Heinz Field itself is the Heinz factory. At least that's true with, anyway. So yeah, it's a bummer on that level. I suspect people are going to still call it Heinz. Like if it had switched to the Hunt's Ketchup Stadium, then there would be an out and out riot about it in the streets. As it is, I think Acrisure assures everybody that no one's going to remember Acrisure.
I think they're
calling it Heinz.
I think they should have stuck it to him and named it Hunt's Field. Like, you know what, Heinz, you're not ponying up the money. I mean, you see how much crypto .com stadium is getting right there, arena. Like, we're going to call it Hunt's Field. Was there anything else you would call it? Mark, do you have any ideas?
Acrisure. Yeah, there's so many of those great provincial brands, like Turner's Iced Tea would be a good one. They're all inside references to Pittsburgh, so they're not.
Who cares?
If to maintain that provincial thing, like Primanti's, obviously.
Primanti's would be good. Yeah. That's a lot
Domenico
of money.
Domenio Stadium would be fine by me. Jerry
Jones
Stadium.
Figured this shit out the right way. Jerry Jones naming his stadium after himself. Because not like I didn't. I'm from Louisiana. I had the Superdome, but it was always just the Superdome. And then Mercedes-Benz bought the Superdome, but like it's still the Superdome, right? So that's never been the
Superdome.
But nobody calls it the Mercedes-Benz Superdome unless you're, you know, Gio Tessitore and you're calling the game, right? But
yeah, that's so right.
Right, you know,
Jerry didn't want it to get out. Yeah, he didn't want it to get out that AT&T funded it. He's like, this is Cowboys Stadium. Don't worry about how we're paying for this, right? And then it got
out. Well, it's just everybody calls it Jerry's World. It'll always be Jerry's World from now to the end. And that's just the way to do it because I've seen – first, I saw the big conundrum in Los Angeles when they switched it from the Staples Center to the crypto.com. And now to hear Dave going his 5-minute rip about Heinz Field, it's like these corporate sponsors really meant something to people. But I think the way to do it is try to get out of there. Jerry World it up. Like, why isn't it Rooney World?
Because that's the way to do it, Jack. That's why we're America's team. Just keep pounding that into everybody's head. It's Jerry's World. It's America's team. And then after a while, people are like, yeah, it's America's team. It's like Trump giving nicknames to people. It's like Trump saying, oh, low energy Jeb and whatever, Sleepy Joe. It's like, oh, after a while, this is what, Crooked Hillary. It's like, oh, man, wow. Next thing you know, he's in office for 4 years.
The squaring of the circle since it's at the Golden Triangle, the triangulation of the triangle or whatever, it should be Three Rivers Field and then put whatever else you want, presented by AccuSure or whatever the hell that thing's called. It's too bad. I'm a grown man. This is upsetting. I can't get too tied up in knots about this. I have too many other things to worry about, like Mitch Trubisky or Kenny Pickett. I can't get bogged down right now. In Heinz. And by the way, I don't appreciate the creep of other forever, our whole lives, it was Heinz or Hunt's, and there was a clear winner in that race. Not like Coke and Pepsi. Coke always had a little edge over Pepsi, but you know, Pepsi held its own. Then there was RC Cola. Who are these RC Colas of ketchup now that are trying to creep in on the action? I don't care for it. The other thing, because that probably means that Heinz couldn't pony up for it, but the other thing that fascinates me about these naming rights for stadiums, because I'm a dumb person, how can it possibly be worth? Do you know the deal, the 20-year deal that Heinz had with the stadium?
I read
it. $60 million.
I already forgot the number,
$60 million. How could it be worth that? I mean, I don't understand how advertising works because I'm a dummy, as I say.
Yeah.
And obviously I'm the sort of dupe who they're targeting. But isn't that weird? Like people?
I think it works out. I think you have Iron Eagle. You have Iron Eagle says Heinz Field 4 times. And it's where you see the TV ratings for the CBS games. And for sure it's worth it over
did more people use Staples, though? Did more people go to Staples because in L.A. specifically or nationally because it was the Staples Center? I am always skeptical about how that works out, but obviously it does, or people wouldn't keep doing it. But it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that particularly is a good deal. But I agree. I don't know that more staplers are being sold because of naming rights and stuff like that. But that's advertising.
I was going to get
Hunt's ketchup, but you know what? I was watching that football game, and now Heinz is in my brain. I'm going
to
get that.
I have a confession related to Heinz.
Go ahead.
I don't need ketchup.
You don't need it. Why?
I haven't eaten ketchup in like 10 years.
Do you think that's what happened? You think like they saw someone like Martin, like what the hell are we doing here? Why are we taking this money? We can't get this guy to eat ketchup. Yeah.
Could have been there. Like I am like ketchup is not like, I can't stand it. And I think maybe there's something to it because, you know, like Staples, I used to go to Staples, I don't know. I think it's one of the weird things of when I lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
I like made these weird rules in my head. Like, I don't drink coffee. I don't eat ketchup. Yeah, like, because if I eat ketchup, I'll go back to 285 again, you know?
My youngest son, and now my other young son, Martin, won't eat ketchup. My youngest son won't put ketchup on his burgers or his French. On French fries, he won't put ketchup. It just drives me crazy.
Me neither.
It drives me. I won't. You won't. You'll eat them just straight.
I'd rather them be just by themselves or maybe some barbecue sauce or something like that. But like, no. I mean, literally, like, you know how you get takeout ketchup and like whatever you get? Like, I have a whole entire drawer in my house of takeout ketchups. Because I don't eat them. I just put them in it. I'm not going to eat them.
Why are you keeping them then?
You know, Dave, that's a great question.
We're going to eat them. I guess in case
somebody else comes, you know, maybe if I invite Sal over and he wants some ketchup. Oh. And he could have some of my, one-use ketchups.
I just need the invite. Please give me
Jean-Claude Van Damme-ishek. Well, by the way, barbecue sauce is ketchup, basically, with some a little bit of brown sugar and some spice.
It's significantly better than ketchup. It's ketchup, but better than ketchup. So that's
different, though. We can debate those two. That's a fair argument to
Oh, it's just so different. You can't. You shouldn't have it on one or the other.
But if you don't know gravy... Yeah. Go ahead.
No, the French fries, here's why it's good with the French fries, because you got the salty fries, right, Jack? And they're hot. Yes. Nice. That's sometimes right. They're too hot to just bite into without ketchup, right? That's you right. need that ketchup. You get the sweet and the salty, and you get the relief from the heat. And it's great. And how are you not eating ketchup with fries without ketchup? I don't understand.
A nice alternative on occasion, at least, is some gravy. That goes against your point about the coolness of the ketchup, but some gravy fries are delicious. You know what I love that's gone the way of the dodo bird? And I've tried to bring it back, and in fact, my oldest child has embraced this the old school way. I like sometimes taking the ketchup and doing the thing like over the bed of fries. I like doing the ketchup just, you know, the general, before you go in, just put the ketchup on top of the whole thing and see, you know, like you did with pie. Put the tomato sauce on top of the pasta overall, you know?
By the way,
not put it ketchup, on the side and dip. Just
ketchup on a dodo bird. That's the way to go. That's, I don't know if you've, last time you've eaten dodo. I don't know. All right. So
what's weirder, fries without ketchup or what Jean-Claude Van Damme-ishek wing lover does? He doesn't touch the blue cheese or the ranch. He just eats some straight. I'm like, what the hell are you doing, boy?
That's all right. He'll get there.
I think it depends on the flavor. If he's going lemon pepper, as Lemon Pepper Parlay podcast, I don't find that matches well with the blue cheese or the ranch. It does best by itself. But like a barbecue or like a buffalo, maybe you want a little bit of ranch there.
Depends how hot. Okay. If it's not that hot, if you could take them, you might just go right through a dozen without dipping in the blue cheese or ranch. And by the way, I ask for both every time. And they're like, well, it's going to cost you extra. I was like, whatever. I'm at a stage in life where I'll throw up the extra $1.50, whatever. I want to decide on the spot what I'm in the mood for. Don't you know? Right?
Look who has embraced one of my key tenets. Don't just survive, live. That's what Sal does. Every time he says which you want, blue cheese or ranch? Yes, that's saying yes to life. That's saying yes to living. Good for you,
Sal. Although you probably live longer if you pass on both, but I know what you're saying.
That's the irony.
How about for a name of the stadium, TB12 Stadium, given how many times Tom Brady owned the Steelers?
I find that cheap. I think that's beneath you. Be better.
Okay. All right. I am going to be better. Peter King came out with, you know, he writes a column every Monday, and I do start.
No.
Yes, he does. He's doing this now, except he's off for like 6 weeks. And this particular week, he had the fans write in new rules. They were trying to figure out new rules for the league. And Shaq, I did. Some of them were very good. He had like 20 submissions he took, but two or three of them I had heard before from you, Shaq. And best teams pick their playoff opponent. Now, the guy, I know you've been long endorsing this new change. I'm trying. The thing that needs to be figured out is, now that the one seed stands alone, do you wait until the second week before you do this? Because now the two seed, or are you starting with the two seed? Do the Chiefs get to pick who they play in the first week of the playoffs? He had the whole thing where the Cowboys shouldn't have had to play the Niners because the Niners were much better than a six seed. But I don't know. I think the problem with this, Shaq, still is I think it'd be unsatisfying. I don't think you have too many coaches want to put themselves out there. They'd be like, well, play who we play. I think that would be the response mostly to this rule. Maybe once in a while you get a coach. Who's the Chargers coach? Staley. He's a little bit of a wild card. Maybe if he was in the position, he would maybe take a stab at a team that he wasn't supposed to play. But honestly, I think this would be unsatisfying.
Well, if he's going to be, if the head coach, and you're probably right that they wouldn't want to poke at whoever their foe would be. I do think that there are some coaches who would just straight up look at the X's and O's and be like, obviously we should be playing that team that snuck into the playoffs, not this. I think there would be some would present. But if they're not going to do it, if they're going to vacate their responsibility, then we have no choice but to American Idol vote on it. American Idol style, and all the fans get to decide on the matchups that that we want to see. Yeah, listen, there are some problems. I'm like Billy Blazejowski. I'm a big idea man. I can't get bogged down with the little details. That's for you to figure out. I've come up with the grand idea. Now you make sense of the rest of it.
I think the only time you would do it is if you had a situation where the NFC East team was a few years ago clearly inferior to the rest of the field, you know? And if you could somehow play them in the first round, you would pick them, right? Like if we were looking at that time, it was 16 games. We were looking at potentially a 7-9 team. Was it a 7-9 team? Were the Eagles 7-9? Were they 8-8?
You know, Sal,
or the Washington,
you say this.
Washington. Yeah.
Say this, but where I met Dave Damashek, roaming the halls of the NFL Network, there's a room called the Beastquake Room in which a 7-9 team ran all over a team that should have been in the Super Bowl, the New Orleans Saints, but they lost their wild card weekend because they did not have home field advantage. Atlanta won 14 games instead of 13.
And so that was a weird thing, too, because, right, exactly, they won the division as an inferior team. All right, another one, Shaq. Well, this one was a little weird, but to discourage longer field goals, because now everybody makes 50-yard field goals plus. Not everybody, but the percentage goes up and up. Another goalpost inside the goalpost, and that's the one you have to hit for the longer field goals. It encourages the shorter field goals. But now you long proposed a square, right? Like box off the uprights.
Just put another crossbar to complete the rectangle. It's now an open-ended rectangle. Now we need the fourth wall, if you will, because then you have to be not only a big leg, but a more precise leg. You often see those kicks sail high up over the goalpost. You can tell with your eye that it has transcended the tip of the two goalposts. Mm-hmm. And in general, yes, the framers of the game, progress is progress. I'm not denouncing the forward pass, making football a more engaging sport. But there are certain things that just sort of offset what was intended in general and what we've grown. I'm not talking in the very early stages of the sport. You know, we watched into 95, 2000. I mean, when were guys making 50 plus yarders with any amount of regularity? You know, like if you wanted to try a 50 plus yard field goal, go ahead, but it's like a 50-50 prop that he's going to make it. Now, you know, the Baltimore Ravens, this is something I've thrown out to consider to position my side of things here. If you took Justin Tucker off the Ravens and you gave him gave that team instead a league average kicker, how many fewer games would they have won over the years?
Isn't there a war of wins above replacement stat for kickers and stuff like that? I think there is.
I imagine, and it impacts the way the Ravens have approached things game by game over the years, too, since they had Justin Tucker, which is like, you can kind of like, you get inside the other, you cross midfield, you're in field goal range. And I get it that he's a weapon, and, you know, would you say that Shannon Sharpe shouldn't be allowed to catch passes because he's faster than the average tight end. This is different than that because this isn't a guy who is at the line of scrimmage throughout the game. This is a guy who stands on the sidelines and comes out and swings two or five times a game.
They have to pay him more than the average kicker, so that's where they're making it up, right? That's where they get dinged. I don't know. Here's the thing. For someone who's so, like, everything has to be aesthetically pleasing, like, I get it. It might make the game better to square off the goalpost, but I'm a fan of shit not looking stupid. I really am. Like,
I don't want that. I don't want this idea to post.
I know, but you still, I don't want it's not pleasing to the eye to square it off or something or to put cardboard fans in. Like, I get it. It's better for the game in general, but why does shit have to look stupid? I don't want to get.
Dave, is it an anti-kicker thing? Because the last time we spoke, you know, obviously there was some Riverboat gambling, things that we guessed in between then. But you had a very, very, I feel like, horrible take about Tom Dempsey and his half a foot.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just curious if it's a whole kicker thing, because now you're coming at – you came at the one of the historical best kickers of all time because he had a sledgehammer for a foot. Now you're coming at Justin Tucker. So I'm just wondering, do you just hate kickers in general? Or is it just – we just picked up.
You know, it's funny because none other I've discussed this on among other places on social media, and a couple few years ago, Justin Tucker himself came back at me about this, offended by this. He's like,
Good for him.
It's not easy. We just make it look easy. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. Would you chip on your shoulder about me praising how good you are and your contemporaries are and you're the best of them? And then a lot of Ravens fans jumped in like, look how he backs down when the guy I'm back down. You're not supposed to be 60-yard field goals should be miraculous. They shouldn't be, you know, you shouldn't see them every other week. I think it, my point is it's exciting. It's a fine feat when somebody does it. It just warps the overall quality of the game, strategy, and it would be a better game without it. My fix is to go like Tom Dempsey, not half a foot, but head-on style. That's what I like. Then this makes it – you should have to play five downs from the line of scrimmage to be eligible to kick in a game. And ban sign – and or ban sidewinders.
This is too much.
No, it's not too much.
I don't want to adjust my eyes for this much for something I don't care that – people don't care too much about. I get it. To Tucker 60-yarder against the Lions, like maybe – whatever. You maybe don't want to see it, but –
Maybe you just called the delay a game beforehand, so that doesn't actually happen.
Yeah, that's true too. Okay, here are a couple that I don't recognize as Damashek's, but I did like this one. The 17th game, so now everyone's playing 17 games. What do we do? Eight home, eight away. So one conference gets nine home 1 year, and the other conference gets nine. The 17th game is a neutral site game in a foreign territory or a college football stadium. I really like this. I really like. You know, you go, all right, so there's Germany, there's Mexico, there's London, obviously. It could be foreign games, or, Sheck, it could be like the Army-Navy game. Get the Steelers versus the Eagles right there. What's that stadium called? Where do they play that?
Where? In
the Army-Navy game. So you're ready.
Acrimony
Stadium? What's it called?
Your favorite football game, Dave. The one you can't live without. Army Navy.
You don't know where it is? It's Heinz Field.
What are you talking? They move it around all the time. It's sometimes in Philadelphia, sometimes it's in East Rutherford. What the hell are you talking about? They don't have one stadium that play that game. Okay. And I thought you were talking about Acrimony Stadium in Pittsburgh.
All right, get it in like a nice – get it in an Iowa's college stadium. Get like a – you know, just get like a nice rivalry in another stadium or just something.
I've been talking for years. For 15, 20 years, I've been talking about the 17th game. And I've said this before the 17th game, but now that you have that extra one, that you should have the interconference regional rivalries play each other. That's exactly – of course, Steelers-Eagles – in the Keystone Bowl. You have the Lone Star Bowl. The difference here is,
yeah, so that's like in Rice Stadium or something, Texans and Cowboys. Yeah, okay.
The Lone Star Bowl.
Yeah. All right. So I like that. So the 17, we like that. This one I didn't like so much. Peter King liked it. Ownership has 10 years to win, and then they have to sell a team. I don't know. I think there could be a lot of shenanigans there. A lot of weird shit going into that 10th year, I think, that we would not be proud of.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been thinking about this. This is a thought I've been bouncing around in my head, but I feel like owners in the way that they used to be are good for sports. And like the idea that like you see now teams being bought by these corporate entities, like Dan Snyder is probably a terrible person. But the idea that he exists in the sports ecosystem gives us something to talk about, right? Like, I just wonder.
Sure.
I wonder if we're moving away from that. If that's a good or bad thing. Like, I don't think that Dan Snyder is a good person. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, he gives us something to talk about because this team is so inept. And part of the reason why is because it's one man calling the shots.
You need bad.
Yeah, but they're inept, though. You need it. You need an evil empire. I agree with you about that. Thank goodness for the New York Yankees. I would hate. I've said this for a long time. I would hate to be a Yankees fan because anything short of winning the World Series is a disappointing year. That's no way to live.
Right. Plus, you're going to hell.
They are clearly the Darth Vader. They're the Darth. What's that?
You're going to hell. I mean, you're right. You don't have to stand the chance in the afterlife.
Yes. You need a Darth Vader, obviously. In every movie, you got to have you got to have that. And the Yankees are that. The Washington Commies are like a punchline of a bad guy. They're kind of like the bad guy in Three Amigos. You know, like he's kind of bad, but he's also stupid.
Exactly. Yeah. But they're not threatening. Right. Red card of sorts. So a helmet to helmet, not ejected from the game. Once it's established that it's an egregious targeting, the guy gets a red card. Next four plays, it's 11-on-10. You like that? I kind of like, without thinking about it, I like that, I think. Maybe not four plays, three
that
plays?
That just broke, honestly, that just broke my brain. One play? That just broke my brain. Like, the idea that there was 11-on-10, I'm having trouble. Which guy would you take off the field?
The infraction, the guy who like the safety.
I guess so.
Yeah.
So now you're just literally going one high as a safety. You had somebody headhunted. That's insanity.
Denied. I don't like that. No, that can't do that.
Me
neither. You're worried about the aesthetics being thrown off by putting one little post atop to make a nice rectangle, but you're going to be swapping guys out off the field and everything? That's craziness.
Listen,
I like the idea.
Why is it crazy in every other sport? You have it in hockey, obviously. You have it in there's red cards in soccer, the biggest sport in the world. Why can't we do it for football?
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? I don't want to make any hard and fast rulings here.
I don't like it one bit.
You don't like it, Martin? All right. This one's been floated. I don't like it.
I do wonder, though, if you did that, since you're supportive of that idea, Sal.
I got to think about
how,
it.
Would you score? Supportive. What would it expose about what we think we know? Like, would it be, they only had 10 guys, so obviously we know we can score on them. Well, obviously we're going to hit them up for a big play here. It's just a matter of exactly what we're going to attack here.
The quarterback still has to be smart enough to figure it out, right? You still have to figure out what kind of coverage is thrown your way. And then before you realize who's uncovered here, right? I mean, the solution for the one or two or three plays might just be a bubble screen to the running back, right? Which zone is clear. So that's
you might be right because hockey, I mean, just based on the numbers, you take one guy down and now you're 5-on-4. The percentage is greater than if you take, 10 versus 11. So,
well, it's not going to be as exciting as hockey. You talk about that 2 minutes when the team is down one and they pull the goalie and it's just like target practice because they get to pass the puck around, right around the blue line before they get their shot. That's very exciting. I don't know that you get that in football necessarily, but it's a start. I don't like this one, Martin, and I've heard it a bunch. 18-game schedule, everybody has to sit too. I think I'm saying no, but I think it's a very selfish no because I'm thinking of fantasy and the implications there.
Why? Because you don't want to have to deal with like a late December and January bye week if you have it would be December and November bye week.
Well, I think your player would have three bye weeks basically fantasy wise. You'd have the actual bye week, and then Tom Brady would have to sit two games also, right? I don't like that shit.
You know what? I'm here for it. I like more football. I like more football, even if it's regular season football with breaks. Yeah, I think I'm going to err on the side of more football here, Sal.
Wait, are you saying, Sal? Are you doing the thing where there are 18 games, but the team is active, but certain players are not? Because that is that what you're talking about?
That's what I believe.
That I hate.
Yeah, it's so good. It's also you're buying tickets. Oh, you got, I hope Aaron Rodgers plays when he comes to the MetLife Stadium, but who knows? That might be one of the two that he sits, that part sucks.
Maybe I missed something. I'm sorry if I did. Why would Aaron Rodgers be sitting any game that the Green Bay Packers want him to play quarterback?
Because he has to sit too. Everybody has to sit too. This would be the dumbest shit
I've ever heard. Then I thought we were just talking about 18 more games. I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about another game. Like if somebody actually has to sit, like why would you do that? Like why would you bench a starter to play an extra game?
This is for safety. Their careers are longer. All that shit. Now what I would say is this was also brought up, and this is the last one. We can move on from this. 53-man roster. They dress 45. Why did they dress 45? Dress 53. Dress 50, dress 49, right? Then in the blowouts, you get players could sit and everything. I never understood that check. Why a 53-man roster, you can only dress 45?
I guess it impacts strategy. It's the same reason why if your third string QB plays, that then you can't put the first string guy back in. Those kind of wonky little rules.
Easiest fix for safety? Like, hey, you already got this many guys on the team. Like, just let more play or let less play longer, and you're going to be all right eventually, right? I don't know.
I guess right. From a safety perspective, that's absolutely right. I guess from a strategy standpoint, that's what they're trying to inhibit just the luxury of options. Like, throw more at him. But then again, I guess it's rewarding creating depth on your roster and all that kind of stuff. And to your point, it would make it safer. Yeah, it is a little bit weird. But that exists in all, by that logic, you should be able to in hockey bring a third goalie in. But it's kind of there's something.
But you wouldn't use him. You wouldn't use that third goalie. You'd use the third fourth string safety. You know what I mean?
I hear you, but I like that moment of like, it's the bullpen is empty, they better score in this half inning or else that pitcher's going to just have to go as long as the extras go here.
I get it.
I like that sense of that, but I hear you with football specifically with guys running into each other. Yeah. More depth is probably going to benefit the careers of those first string guys.
All right. Well, listen, we spoke. This is July 11th, 7/11, and we've spoke almost 50 minutes. We've spoken about football. I love it. But Martin is stuck in Vegas. There, we do have the summer games there. Martin, the summer league champ gets rings now.
This is a thing that touches me close to home. When I moved to California 6 years ago, mm-hmm. I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the summer league because I used to watch it on TV every summer and think that it was like the coolest thing ever, bro. It's like, obviously, it's not great basketball, but everybody's there. And it just felt like, you get to go to Vegas and so on. And all of a sudden, Lonzo Ball goes number two to the Los Angeles Lakers. And summer league tickets go up 200% out of nowhere. Then Zion Williamson's fat ass comes here next year and plays the most he's ever played in summer. I mean, he's played like, 80 NBA games in his entire life. But everybody was here to watch him start in summer league. I'm just glad now that we have seemingly got back. Like, the hype over Paolo Banchero and Chet Holmgren and so on is not so much that I could still get in the damn gym. But I'm upset about this, Sal. I'm upset about this because we keep treating summer league like it's a real thing, and it's not a real thing. You come here for fun. You don't come here for rings. No one is trying to win this thing. Like Jaden Ivey twisted his ankle yesterday. We won't see him again till November. What are we talking about? I hate the idea that they get rings.
They shouldn't give out
rings. It's not real.
Martin should give out ketchup packets, and that should be it. That should be the reward.
That's about what a summer league championship is worth. Is a Heinz ketchup packet right there.
Yeah, but here's the thing:
Carolina Panthers to make playoffs. Got this for you, Shaden Sharp. It wasn't a complete loss for you coming out here this year.
Yeah, exactly. You got that. You got that ticket. But I'm embarrassed. Well, for many reasons, for us as a nation. But the Chet Holmgren, he comes out like you said on fire, and now he's compared to Shaquille O'Neal. The next 24 hours, it's like, oh my God, can we just wait? Can we just wait till the second summer league game when he's going to level off? Like, enough. Was that the buzz there, Martin? Like, the Chet Holmgren, were you there for that day, or did you go after that?
No, because so he was in his first big day was in the other one, Salt Lake City.
Oh, right.
So
right.
he wasn't actually here. However, right. Sal, I want you to know, I've been spreading the gospel, ABC, anybody but Chet.
Right.
I've been spreading the gospel. Look, you're not going to get me with either the fattest Zion Williamson or the skinniest of all time. It's not going to work for me. And everybody is telling me, and I've talked to, all these people in the business, and I was like, bro, when you see Chet, do you really see, like, there's – like, you do this for a living. You have a tag on your thing that says scout. Do you really see Kevin Durant when you see Chet Holmgren? Because how? And overwhelmingly, the answer I've gotten is no. And they feel like he's more of a Rudy Gobert, which, you know, nothing wrong with that. You know, there's a lot of talent there. That's a good – I mean, he got traded for, what, 4 first-round picks?
Yeah.
However, the idea that this guy is supposed to be some offensive juggernaut coming down the pipe with just nailing
threes.
Well, I think
that's unfair. The Rudy Gobert.
He's fat shaming
exactly
and
him,
skinny
right?
shaming. Yeah, right. I don't know.
Well, they're saying.
I think there's so few big men. We want this to happen, right? Because you ran out of the gym, Martin, when you saw 17 straight threes missed. You're like, well, if there was a Chet Holmgren, I'm not even saying Chet Holmgren himself, but if it was a Chet Holmgren type player who could dominate the post again, maybe we would move away from this shitty behind the arc, everybody shooting and missing, right? So it's the idea of Chet Holmgren that gets everyone excited more than Chet Holmgren himself, I think.
I don't think you're wrong. And I also think, like, it doesn't help that – I mean, it doesn't hurt that he's, you know, literally, like, you know, excuse me, if you want to talk about a unicorn type of a player, like, he's so skinny, he's so tall, and he's been good for a very long time, too. Like, he's been on the top of the – you know, I've heard about Chet Holmgren since Chet Holmgren was, like, 15 years old, you know, for him to now be playing in the league and actually getting minutes. But I just can't. Just looking at Kenny Lofton Jr.'s big old self, just push him around. It's just hard to see anything but that.
All right.
But I will say this, if the expectation is from anybody is that he would emerge as some low force, low block force offensively, then that's silly and you're deluding yourself. He is, unicorn is maybe right with him because, you know, he's obviously much longer than Dirk Nowitzki and has greater range probably than Nowitzki ever had too, but he's a rim protector defensively. He does present as an intriguing guy, I think. But I'm trying to look for a defensive player there.
But I think that's what, yes, you're right, Shaq. That's the best case scenario. It's a pretty goddamn good scenario if he's defensive player of the year, right? He is right now 60-1 to win defensive player of the year. But if you compare him, Martin, to a Rudy Gobert, who's favored at plus 650, he'll have a nice little career for himself, right?
I mean, Rudy, I think that nobody is like planning on taking Rudy Gobert with the second pick overall in the draft. But I think if you got him in the first round, you feel good about it, right? Like you have, that's a cornerstone of your franchise, right? You know, led you to a couple playoff appearances. Like you got to feel good about that. Yeah. But I don't know. The guy who impressed me the most this weekend is Scottie Pippen Jr.
Yeah, people love him. They really do.
Just watching him handling the ball, like he feels like he's going to be a pro for a long time.
He's so big, right? It's so weird. I don't know. You're comparing him to an old man. I'm looking at the numbers here. Where the hell is Scottie Pippen for? So Holmgren moved to plus 360 for rookie of the year. He took over for Bancaro, is now plus 410. So Holmgren won. Bancaro 2, Jabari Smith plus 550 is third. I guess he just won't get the minutes, right?
Scottie Pippen. I don't know. He might not win any awards, but I just think I think he's going to be a pro for a long time.
All right. There you go. I think it goes
back to what we talked about a month ago, which is it's very strange. Just as I always used to be baffled by where all these, remotely coordinated, let alone hyper-coordinated, 7-foot-tall human beings were being grown. Where now did they all go since Shaq was in his prime? You know, you couldn't, you, Chet might end up being great in a 21st century way, might be a great rim protector at one end, a high end Rudy Gobert, because then he comes down and kills you from 25 feet, you know, as a stretch five or whatever you would call him at this point. But again, what happened to the Shaquille O'Neals of the world? You know, he was the best of them, but every team used to have a 7-1 guy who could bang with you. Chet Holmgren would get destroyed if you dropped him 20 years ago in the NBA. He would have no chance as a five.
Sure.
Now it's like, well, yeah, you can play him the way the game goes now. It's interesting. But anyway, the ring stuff is stupid and cheesy and all that. But I will say,
would you wear that ring? Anybody wear that ring, though? Would you wear it? Then you got to explain it.
I mean, I feel like if that's the only
thing. Jaylen Brown's mom would.
But that's the thing. Jaylen Brown probably played somewhere for like three games ever, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're any good, you're not here, right?
Like, right.
If you play, you're like, imagine the Pistons win the Summer League championships here. Jaden Ivey had literally 12 points all summer. It's like you're just not.
Yeah,
that's why I just think it's too much going on.
It's kind of
it creates stakes, which then lead to it, and it already has that vibe to it. The NBA Summer League is now legitimately, I feel like, sort of like one of those off-season things that the NFL has done such a good job of creating, so that there's the sense of 365. The NBA rightly is trying to get in on that action and have events in the off-season, so they're never too far.
And it's in Vegas. It's in Vegas, and they're not going to lose, right? Like that's everyone's fun trip for the summer, even though it's blazing hot there, right, Martin? What was it, 108?
My watch had it yesterday at 110 for most of the day.
Martin hasn't been outside. He hasn't been outside.
I was just going
to say. This is the worst place that people actually want to go to in the United States. That is my opinion, and I stand on it. I can't.
All right.
That people actually want to travel to is Las Vegas is the worst place to go.
Go to New Orleans. If you want to do what you love to, you know what you love about doing in Vegas? You can do it in New Orleans. Go there.
Well, he's a New Orleans guy.
I haven't agreed with you more in the last 10 minutes than ever before in both of our lives. You have been correct and accurate, both on the NBA, wanting to be 365, and New Orleans has character that Vegas will never have. And if you want to do the things in Vegas, you go to New Orleans and have a great time.
But to be fair, you don't like Vegas, though. But, I mean, I'm with you on this one, too. The thing of like going into a sea of frat dude humanity in those pools is like people are like, this is the greatest ever. And I'm like, ooh, it looks like I'd throw up. I don't want to be that close to that many guys with barbed wire tats and so on and so forth.
Liar.
But Marty, you haven't been in any pool in over a decade, which that's a little bit weird.
You know, they don't fill these pools with ketchup, Martin. You could jump in every now and then.
I didn't even bring a swimsuit to Vegas.
That's so weird. That's so crazy.
Now, I will say it was when I was at the day party, it was an issue because they were like, are you going to come in here with shorts? And I'm like, bro, I'm not going to get in the pool. Like, just let me in. Like, don't worry. I'm not going to swim. Like, I'm not going to swim.
All right, let's take a quick break. We've discussed a lot. We have to get to baseball. We have to do it. A lot going on this week. Leading up to the All-Star game, Red Sox split with the Yankees. We're going to talk about the Mets and Keith Hernandez Day. Lots of fun stuff. I'll take a quick break and we'll be back. All right, as I mentioned, Red Sox fight back to split with the Yankees. Boy, the Yankees destroyed them Thursday and Friday. And then Saturday and Sunday, Red Sox play some interesting games. Split with the Yanks, and now they're 14 back. I don't think they're going to catch them, but it's still a good rivalry, Sheck. I'd be nervous if I were the Yankees. Still don't want to play the Red Sox in the playoffs. It's not going to be a one-game elimination the way the Yankees are stacking up to have the overall number one seed, but you don't want to play this Red Sox team if you're the Yankees.
No, you know, you as always happens when you look at the standings, you look at the AL East and you say, oh, that team's so far ahead that the other teams are irrelevant. But then you look up and you say, like, oh, well, they're going to get a wild card. The Red Sox are certainly going to get a postseason game. And I hear you. And I'll just say it now. The Brian Bello, I don't know how you say his name. He's very little, 170 pounds of him, a wisp of a man. recalling Oil Can Boyd against your Metropolitans in the 86 Fall Classic. 6'1", 170 pounds. He is the brightest star in the pitching ranks of the Boston Red Sox. He's going against the Devil Rays today. He's going to win his first major league game, and this will launch them further into contention, I think.
Is this your play of the day? Optimism. Is this what you're doing?
That's right. That's right. I'm sneaking it in there right now.
Go ahead. What is it officially?
All right. What I'm going to do specifically with it is I like the Red Sox building on the success of the second half of the four game set there. They're now down in Tampa. Red Sox, if you lay a run and a half, you can get them at, it already changed since they knew I was going to announce this. It's already dropped. The juice is now down to +140. I still think that's good enough against Matt Whistler, who's lost his last two outings. I think the Red Sox, feeling good about themselves, go down there. They emerge victorious. Take them to win by two runs or more.
Yeah. All right. +140. Yeah. All right. Martin, give your play today. Might as well. Let's knock it out here.
I'm going to take the under and in the Phillies and the Cardinals game. It's 5-0 in the last five Phillies games. It's 2-0 in Nola's last four starting for the Phillies. And like every single number goes for the under. The under is 4-0 in the Cardinals four games following a win. Under is 8-0 in the last Cardinals eight games against a team with the winning record. There's literally every single number is trending towards the under. So I'm taking under in the Cardinals and Phillies.
Under eight and is the number. But you're
under eight, zeros yes, thank there. You.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
So I'm taking under eight, and I will go downstairs as soon as we finish this and put that actual bet in.
Put that in and take that Panthers over Steelers win total, if you can find it. all right. I don't love this Mets-Braves matchup. I really don't like it. Three games here. We're going to be in second place going into – I'm pessimistic going into the All-Star break here. But check – Max Scherzer versus Max Fried. You have two Maxes going against each other. Not common. Max was my grandfather, my Jewish grandfather's best friend. His name was Max. It's an older name, and you got Scherzer versus Fried. I'm going Mets under 3.5 runs, team total. No McNeil. He's on paternity leave. No Marte. He's out. McCann messed up his thumb. I think this is going to be a thin lineup for the Mets, and Max Fried himself has allowed four runs only once in his last 10 starts, I think, for the full nine innings. The Mets stay under 3.5. That's -115. So that's our plays of the day.
Is Scherzer the greatest Max in sports history?
Well, Schmeling was pretty good, right? The boxer.
Okay. Okay. But no, Scherzer's better than Schmeling.
Yep. Yeah, probably.
Joe Lewis gave him what for to end that. So forget Schmeling. What are you?
At the end of the day, as soon as you said that, I felt like you were wrong, but now I can't think of any other Maxes.
Well, he might lose the title.
As soon as you said
that,
I was like, there's no chance.
Yeah. Maxwell Caulfield was in Greece too. But that's no good.
Well, he rode motorcycles. That was kind of like a sport. He was really good.
Max Carey was
I don't know if you heard.
That's right. Max Carey was a manager from in the very, very early.
There's no football guy? I can't believe I can't think of it. There's got to be a Max from football.
Max Unger, right? Okay. Played center.
Are you kidding me? There's not a better Max in history of football? That's weird.
I don't think so. Who the hell would it be?
Interesting.
Max Montana. Max Crosby, the is that his name? Crosby from the Raiders, the defensive end from Eastern Michigan.
Yeah,
Max. Okay. Isn't he Max with two X's?
Okay,
Max Crosby.
Wow, Scherzer still beats him. That's a good one.
Two X's though. He's got it locked down. No question. Max Crosby.
Cornbread Maxwell, but that doesn't really count, and he wouldn't be as good as Scherzer anyway. I just hope that the Metropolitans and the Braves see better throwing from their players. I mean, these Major League Baseball players, Sal, I'm sure you saw this between the Marlins and Metropolitans. But
the Mets it was the first walk-off on Keith Hernandez Day, first walk-off game in extra innings. It ended with an error since the 86 team, Game 6. Pretty crazy.
And then your catcher threw the game away yesterday.
Yeah, that sucked. That all sucked. Alcantara.
I feel like the Mets have a lot of days. Keith Hernandez Day, Bobby Bonilla Day. Yeah. Like, that's, like, how many more days?
You're right.
As a Metropolitans fan, Sal, actually, that stood out to me. Seaver, Kuzman,
Hodges.
Now Keith Hernandez,
yep.
And Mike Piazza. No, not Gil Hodges.
Oh, Hodges didn't make it. Right. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about players. I'm not talking about skippers.
Yeah.
Because Stengel is also.
Stengel's.
But but only four Metropolitans players, and they are the ones I just said. Kuzman, Seaver, obviously. Piazza, like, definitely Mike Piazza, of all the guys. He played half his career with the Dodgers. And Keith Hernandez, who played half his career with the Cardinals. These are the guys.
I don't want to toot my own horn, and I had very little to do with it. But the 86 Met documentary pushed that. And by the way, Keith Hernandez emailed the executive producer of the basically put it together, Nick Davis, like, thank you for this. This got my name. But it was clear that he was the leader of that team from that documentary. Cooperstown is a different
That's amazing.
Story.
I was wondering about exactly that, Sal, because Carter, right, yeah. I was thinking like maybe a year ago, maybe it would have been Gary Carter who gets the honor, and that's fascinating and good for you and Kimmel and everybody else, because that revealed something that most of us never knew.
Good for Keith Hernandez. Now, the next three are to be considered for widely, as I've read it, is David Wright, Strawberry, and Gooden. So David, I think Straw should be next. I think Straw should be. If you look at his numbers, just in longevity and everything else, he's right there close to having a lot of the Mets.
Jesus Christ. Offense. I don't mean, I'm not trying to get your goat, Sal, but my goodness. This is your team. This is their history. They've been around
nobody
says Omar Moreno should have his number retired. Nobody's talking about Omar Moreno.
What do you want? So you have Dave
honors.
Parker. How many do you have? You have Skinny Barry.
What are you
Bonds.
Kidding me?
You have Dave Parker. Yeah. I'm not talking.
Let's
Honus
start
Wagner.
The clock. I'm not talking about Honus Wagner and guys.
Sure.
I'll start the clock. 1962. Just from the time that the Mets came into existence.
Right.
We have the Cobra Dave Parker.
Right.
We have Pop Stargell. And of course, we have Roberto Clemente. What are we talking about? And then also, you then can talk about Barry Bonds beyond that. And, you know, it's a better lineup than I can't believe the Mets don't have anybody better to retire than those names.
Clemente had 240 home runs. I don't want to hear excuses. 240 home runs. Strawberry had better numbers than that.
When I think of the Mets, though, like the teams of me growing up, David Wright was the key. For most of those teams, which is kind of like, I'm too young for Doc and Daryl, but like, I remember David Wright. You know what I'm saying? It's not shot like your opinion is kind of shocking to me. He's like
David Wright.
He's like Mr. Met.
Yeah, of course. I was in that. He's the only one. I was in your cousin's fantasy league, Shaq, forever, and I kept him on my. I would not trade. I should have traded him instantly because everybody around the rest of my team was terrible. And I finished in last place begrudgingly because I wouldn't let go of David Wright. So there you go. Hey, go
Yard! He was very good. This is the vet. This is the guy, though. David Wright was a very good player.
Oh, that's, what are you talking about? Okay. We have Tom Seaver. We have Seaver's as good as any pirate you could name.
Okay, good. I said, Tom Seaver. That's a great one.
Yeah, go Yard. Nolan Ryan. Doesn't matter that he didn't do his damage with the Mets. Go Yard.
You know what they should do?
They should let me
just tell you something. No. You'll do that in a second. Let me just say one thing. Here's what I'm going to propose to you. I have a nice idea.
Willie Mays.
This way, then no debate about Dwight Gooden with the. They're problematic. Daryl Strawberry and Dwight Gooden. Here's how you get past the Gooden part. Just put that four man rotation in as a group, right? The 86 guys, Ojeda,
Sid Fernandez,
Darling, and we got them all, right?
And good. Yeah, that's fine. I'll take it as a – Doc needs to be sober for like 11 months, and then we can maybe consider getting him in there. Hey, I'm going to try this again. You go Yard all summer long, $5 Dinger Tuesdays. $5 Dinger Tuesdays, check on FanDuel Sportsbook. This season, all customers get $5 for every home run hit by both teams when you place a $25 to hit a home run wager on Tuesday Major League Baseball games. The best part about Dinger Tuesdays is even if you bet loses, FanDuel pays you $5 for every home run. Yes, no better place to bet America's pastime than America's number one sportsbook, FanDuel. Head over to your FanDuel account or download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code Against All Odds to pick your home run hitter. That's promo code Against All Odds. Well, God, I don't know. I'm honestly like, are the Yankees playing Tuesday? Can you get Stanton? Can you get Judge? What am I missing? I know you'll do this on minus three, Spaghetti, but I have to see if they're playing. Let's see if the schedule. Are the Yankees playing Tuesday? Yeah, Yankees play the Reds. The Yankees are home. And Rizzo, Stanton, and Judge. That's it. That's all you have to do. Oh, I can't
just pick one of those. Or go, here's an interesting connection. O'Neal Cruz. He keeps, I mean, did you see the home run he hit on Sunday?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
He's been on him days.
It's a little like kind of lazy half swing and it flies out of the yard. It really was something to see. Did you know, I just read, he's named after Paul O'Neal. Former
I thought you were joking. I thought you were trying to get babyface Joel Solomon's goat, but that's true, right?
As far as I understand, that the old man was a big Yanks fan, loved Paul O'Neal, so O'Neal Cruz is his name.
Babyface, you have an issue with these Pirates that are being compared to the legendary Tom Seaver and Gooden and all these guys?
No problems there. I mean, it's just, you know, Willie Stargell, some people might say, was a little problematic also. I just wanted to defend you on Daryl Strawberry.
There you go. Thank you.
Pete,
thank you.
But also, Max
Pop Stargell was problematic? What are you talking about?
Well, as far as there might have been, you know, some allegations and some, you know.
With the Pointer Sisters? Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you put that stink on Pops. That was the Cobra. He had his issues with the Pirate Parrot, you know.
That's true. The Pirate Parrot, he was to blame. But how dare you forget Max Starks? Max Starks.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
All right. Right. I don't know if he makes the
no, sure,
the,
just
the Mount Rushmore, the Max Rushmore, but still.
Yeah. Max Struz. His most memorable moment was getting erased. That's reported getting erased 5 minutes after it went in.
How about max contract for every NBA player for the Jalen Brunsons of the world? Mm-hmm. Do it up for the playoffs and not in the regular season. All
I
right,
saw his dad yesterday.
You did? See?
What Rick Brunson. I was talking to him for a second.
Yeah. We got to say goodbye. We also have to say goodbye to James Caan and Tony Sirico. Oh, so sad. Sonny Corleone, Paulie Walnuts. Shaq, favorite moments from those guys? Just legends. Legendary badasses.
What? You know, everybody's talked about he and Chrissy walking through the snowy forest looking for the Russian assassin and everything. He just, you know, it was much more for me. The best moments with Paulie were them just sitting around the Bada Bing in the back room chopping it up. He always was good for a great line. One of the funniest, weirdest, most uncomfortable moments in 21st century television is when Soprano stops by Paulie's crib and he has a painting of Soprano on top of Paiome, the horse that they own, dressed up like some general or whatever. And Tony's like, what is that? Is that
he thought he was making fun of him, but he's like, I'm paying tribute to you, boss. Yeah. Yeah. That was great.
I think that's my favorite moment, but James Caan, you know, is obviously awesome. One of the great. Sonny Corleone is one of the
anyone could have played that. Anyone
characters of all time.
He absolutely was one of the greatest movies. Yeah, go ahead, Martin.
Just being in Vegas will put you into this place that the real world does exist. I found out that Paulie Walnuts died when you said it just now.
And is that right?
Is heartbreaking, bro. Like, man. That's so my sad. Guy. I fucking loved that show. And he was one of my favorite characters. After that show,
he was
like
great.
3 weeks, I was just, you know, calling people moolies and, you know, just using the accent and stuff. So, what are you talking about? Come on, what's wrong with you? Like, I couldn't help.
My father is compared to Paul Walnuts a lot. The salt and pepper hair, the great. And they used they used Tony Sirico's actual OCD in with his character. He always had he has a whole thing about his shoelaces. You go into a urinal, your shoelaces are touching piss. You got to watch. It's a whole funny thing with him. But I love the stuff with him and Chris. You watch it, Chrissy. Just when he put it, Pinkett, watch it, Chrissy. Be right out there. They killed that waiter. Remember, he made Chris pay for the meal. It was a weird tradition about how the lower level guys had to pay for the meals. You and the Lee and these potatoes and ordering drinks from those skanks on the table across the way. He's like, hey, Paulie Walnuts. And then the waiter comes out because Chrissy tipped him like $12. Like it was $11.88. He gave him $1,200. The waiter's pleading his case and they end up shooting the waiter. It's just crazy. That would have been a great, if Chris hadn't died, sorry if I'm ruining it for him, but if Chris hadn't died, what a spinoff that would have been. Just Chris and Paulie would have been terrific. But anyway, rest in peace.
It's great. Where does he rank for you in Sopranos characters?
I think you have to go like second tier, right? Because you can't say, well, Walter White's the greatest in Breaking Bad. And you can't, Tony Soprano and Carmelo are the best for Sopranos. But second tier, I go back and forth between him and Chris. And then third tier, I go with Hesh. Where do you go? I like Hesh.
Johnny Sack was hysterical. It depends on, yeah, it depends on how you,
if he's a,
you know, who is great as a villain. Richie Aprile is one of the all time scariest.
He was the scariest. Yep.
Characters ever. I feel like, or at least in the 21st century,
he was scarier than what's his name was, Palatone. What's his name? Why can't I think of it?
From the,
Sal
Palantonio? Yes. Not Sal Palantonio. Yeah.
Sal
Palantonio is scary. Yeah.
What's his name?
He dated Rosalie. He was, why can't I?
Right. He
Ralph Cifaretta. Joey Pants. Ralph Cifaretta, right? Joe Pantaleo.
Right. Ralph Cifaretta. Yeah. Who dated
I think he was a better character because they had that. So it was him. And then the other season, it was who you mentioned. I'm all over the place with it. It was Richie Aprile, Ralph Cifaretta, and then who was Tony's cousin? Tony Blundetta, right?
Buscemi. So I don't remember his name, but
Buscemi. Yeah,
Aprile was the best. And when his sister comes in and shoots him, but then it felt redundant for a bit when Pants is there. But he did have one of the standout lines that just out of context is funny. After he kills the hooker in the alley. What did you do? He's like, A, she was a hua. B, she hit me.
It's just craziness. So good. And, but Walnuts,
she was a
also,
hua. She was a hua. A hua. I can't even do it.
She was a hua. You forget about Paulie Walnuts with his mother, right? Martin, that was a great thing too.
I think I owe the Sopranos a rewatch now.
I gotta watch
my favorite scene is the number one. My favorite scene, like one of my favorite scenes in TV history, is the stump pulp. Like where he throws the stump pulp scene.
Which was it?
I'll send you guys a link to it. But they like he's drinking orange juice. He's like on the phone outside. Oh, and he's like, there's all this pulp in here. I only like it with some pulp. And she's like, fuck you.
It was more about the orange than the orange juice because their problems came down to it. All right, we got to get going here. I got to jump off. This was good. We back in the saddle, hour and 20 minutes. Just a reminder.
Look what they did to my boy.
Reminder to everyone out there. You may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites. We'll be right back.